we decided, and we wanted to start some sort of a marketing campaign eventually, right? For off-market properties, we said, well, let's cash out on this in a wholesale situation and move over and try to wholesale another and build up the reserves. That was our main focus in the beginning. Let's build up a reserve so then we can go ahead and have that money to start some marketing and also have a down payment money for any future deals that we're doing.
Welcome to the Cashflow for Life podcast. We believe there are two types of people in this world. People that have greater cash flow coming in every single month, or people who have cash flow going out. We believe you need to be the type of person that has cash flow coming in, and that is what this podcast is all about. Our mantra is simple. If you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life. If you're looking to achieve financial freedom through real estate investing, you're in the right place. Andrew Holmes, a renowned expert in the field, is your guide on this journey. Andrew is the driving force behind National RE Invest, the largest real estate investors association in the United States. Together, we're here to help you build wealth and create more cash flow in your life. Let's get into the show.
Hey guys, today we're talking to Jesse about his journey from being a lender, meaning working for a bank, doing the back end of loans, to building his own cash flow portfolio. So today we're going to talk to Jesse. You don't have to be the fastest to start. Year and a half, didn't have a single property. And then he's built a phenomenal portfolio. So this is Jesse's story and his cash flow for life. So Jesse, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
So I'm going to kind of pick it up where a lot of people are when they may be listening to it, others may be listening for growth, but still others go through a phase that you went through as you started in real estate, right? Which was frustration. Year and a half, literally, if somebody had talked to you in the first year and a half and said, hey, Jesse, you go to this program called Andrew Holmes Mastery, and what the heck have you done? What happened in the first year and a half?
Yeah, exactly. It was really frustrating. And I thought I would never get out of that hole. It was, I go through the program and I start looking for properties and I find properties, a lot of off of the MLS. And it's basically like I was throwing a lot of stuff against the wall just to see what sticks.
Okay. So I want to kind of delve deep into it because some of those properties today, going back, you would never even look at. You would never even waste time, right? And if somebody says, what's the difference between a real estate pro, what we would consider success in mastery, which is somebody who really builds cash flow, not just somebody who does flips, right? And we'll kind of get to that. A lot of those properties, you would never pay a second look to it because you know right off the bat, no, this just doesn't make sense. What was happening? What has changed from that time? Because the first 15 properties, literally almost 15 or 20 that you were looking at, you'd be all excited. And I'd be like, no, man, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. What is the difference between then and today?
Well, a lot of it had to do with my job at the time.
Okay.
I was working at a corporate bank, a retail bank, and it was as if I was working that job 24/7. At the same time, attending the classes in the program. And since I made that investment in the program, I wanted something to get going. I wanted some properties right away, but the time at my job just took up most of that focus. So I wasn't focusing on the numbers. And the calculation, the formula when it came to the program is as well as I should have, as closely as I should have. And that was the difference maker. Once I did find the time and really lasered in on it, that was when the switch happened.
So I want to kind of go to two things. Number one, I want to go to your past because all of us are a product of our experiences, good, bad, indifferent. Right? I mean, if sometimes we've done something well, sometimes they're like, oh my God, I'm a genius, man. I didn't know you were probably, if you're at the right place at the right time, maybe you were just lucky, right? Being good and being lucky are two different things. We all want to be lucky. The problem is luck runs out at some point, right? So my question to you is, you had bought properties during the boom, 2005, 6, 7.
Right.
You came from a banking background, meaning you were doing the back ends for underwriting and all this kind of stuff. But yet those properties, some of them you had to give back. And that would have been at that time, obviously, it's not only something you feel bad about, financially, it's devastating, right? It, I'm sure, took a huge hit on your personal ego as a man. You're like, man, the hell, I was going to do this and it didn't work, right? Put all that aside. A lot of people blame the market, but yet it's very rarely has to do something with the market. Market just reveals who you are. Mm-hmm. But clearly there were mistakes you made, which you didn't know. What were those mistakes on those properties?
Well, when I had first started, it was a lot easier to get those loans at the time to purchase investment properties. Pretty much anybody could get it at the time. Although I was in the industry, I went in gun-ho and just...
Retail purchases.
All retail purchases. And I purchased them wrong, right? And I did feel a lot of pressure.
So for the audience listening, explain, what do you mean by wrong?
So there was really no thought process as far as what my ceiling or my what a maximum allowable offer would be, so anything that would make sense. It was just, there's a property for sale. I qualified to purchase it. And whether there was cash flow or not, I really didn't concentrate on that aspect of it. And that's where my numbers went away.
So it's like most people buying something, right? They buy a property because they want to do something. They want to feel like they're investing. Yep. And so then they buy a property and then they're like, I did what I was supposed to do, right? Not realizing that, hey, in fact, you probably would have been better off not even buying a property because the one that you just bought, if anything happens in the market, it's going to put you on the backside of the curve, right? Meaning it's going to go against you rather than helping you. It's actually going to hurt you. So now, at the time, did you look at equity when you purchased?
So no, not necessarily.
Okay.
It was more the focus on that was really just a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
It was just, let's just buy it and let's just hope and pray that the appreciation is going to give us the equity on it.
Right. So you guys weren't buying based on, the properties actually having a lot of equity, actually cash flowing, actually having a DCR number that worked. You're just like, man, everybody's getting in. Let me get in.
Everybody's doing it. Let's join the parade. Yeah.
So that happens. The market turns, obviously, right? And the crash comes. Now, when the crash comes, this sort of thing, and we saw that happen at that time, it took a psychological toll on families.
Yes.
Not only did it take a toll financially, but more the mental toll. Oh my God, we tried to do something and it didn't work. So now when you show up to Mastery, right? You came to Mastery 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
2018.
About? 2018, yep. Right? So now at that time, you'd already taken a beating in 2008. And we laugh about it today, obviously.
Yep.
But on a personal front at home, right? What was your spouse, your wife's attitude at that time that, hey, Jesse, we already tried our experiment once. I don't want to put the family through this again, right? What was her kind of thought process at that time? Very different today, right? We can laugh about it, but she wasn't laughing at the time.
No. And I wasn't laughing at the time because it was a real tough time in my family's life because the bust had happened. We lasted it as long as we could. I lost two investment properties that I had purchased. And I was on the verge of losing my primary residence, right? Losing the roof over my family's head. And, a lot of pressure had hit me. I didn't know where my next paycheck was coming because since I was in the financing sector, that's a very volatile market. I would jump from job to job to job, different banks, different brokers and so on. So being mostly on commission, I really didn't know how I was going to pay my next mortgage payment. And
that happened to a lot of people in real estate at that time, right? You were connected through real estate from the banking end of it, which is on the back end, you were doing kind of the underwriting and all that kind of stuff, right? You were not the loan officer side of it, but you were on the underwriting side of it.
Correct.
From the bank's perspective. So the banks, people are going under, that puts some of the banks under.
Yeah.
They're basically cutting back staff. They're reshuffling everything, right? There's a big turmoil. So now not only is your investments gone by the wayside, suddenly your basic paycheck, putting food on the table is an issue suddenly.
Correct.
right? So what made you come back in 2018? What was it that, clearly that bug had not, you know, gone away, right? Exactly. Some people would say, oh my God, man, I'm done with this real estate stuff. What was it? Clearly you had something deep down inside going on that made you come back.
So there was a few things. My father was a real estate broker.
Okay.
His dream was to invest in real estate the right way. I had stumbled upon the mortgage field by accident right out of school. I was looking for a job. My sister was working at the time at a mortgage broker, says, we're going to relocate. We need somebody to answer the phones. So I went in to answer the phones, just earned a little bit of money. And this was way back. And they had replaced me with her, or actually her with me. And she left and she's a, it was funny. We have a funny family story right there because she says that I got her fired. But anyways, that's how I stumbled on the in the mortgage industry. So my father and I had worked together, real estate agent and loan officer, and we would process each other's clients, the files, help each other out. So I saw that vision in him and I said, okay, Dad, we're going to do this together. He since had retired and was tired of the industry because it was so volatile. And I stood in the financing sector of it. And we just, I said, you know, there's a way with, of course, all the real estate gurus that were passing through locally through Chicagoland that were based out of the West Coast and the East Coast coming in, selling their products. You know, we go back as far as Carlton Sheet days,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And, you know, this is a different lifestyle. This is a your way to financial freedom. So I saw that and that was my niche. That's actually what I wanted to pursue. It was deep down, that bug deep down inside me that I really wanted to hit. And so I was just searching and searching and searching. And after going through so many different webinars and programs and gurus listening and actually purchasing into a couple of programs, you know, none of that really worked out for me. You know, although I was, you know, putting them into action, there was just so many pieces of the puzzle that were missing that they just, it just didn't come to fruition. So, but I didn't want to give up because I did know, I saw some people where it did work out from and continuing the stories and it just your inside gut that just don't give up, right? Just keep moving until I actually attended one of the 3 days.
Okay. So you show up and my point was always we pick one thing, right? One thing meaning we're going to build cash flow. And we talk about 257 cash flow for 2 years, 5 properties, get them paid down. Right. And let's just focus on cash flow. When the wholesales come along, you're going to do wholesales. When the flips come along, you're going to do flips. But you're looking for good quality properties. Let the property decide and your set of circumstances at that time. But your success is the number of properties you put away for you and your family. That basic thought process, did that make sense to you? That this is not about how many flips you do. This is not about how many wholesales you do. It's fine. That is success, but that is not the success we measure. We measure your success by the amount of good quality rental properties that you have put aside for you and your family. Did that basic philosophy make sense to you?
That and the financing aspect of it was the main reason why I was intrigued about this program and had attended the following classes and all the network events. That's what drew me in because although my wife on the side was telling me, Jesse, you know this information. You're in the industry. You have a mortgage background. You know the numbers. You know what you need to do. You don't need to invest anymore into any other programs or real estate events. Why are you doing this? Please don't. And I was losing money on the other properties, but because when I attended one of the 3-day events, listening to you and going through all the numbers and the formulas and the different type of lifestyle and the perspective of the process, I said, you know, I went back home and I told my wife and my family, I go, you know what? This guy knows what he's talking about. This guy knows what he's doing. And I said to myself, my wife, although she forbade it, she says, no, don't join any programs. I'm like, you know, if this fails, this guy's locally, I can go ahead and knock on his door and make sure that, you know, I get a refund, right? But right. Knowing that just what you were talking about made sense to me. And I said, well, you know, And you actually gave a lot of different perspectives and examples and case studies where a lot of other folks don't do that. Yeah. And that really hit home. That,
no, I think, you know, a lot of other folks are the motivation and the cheerleader business, right, which is, oh my God, oh yeah, man, I'm going to kill it, right? Yeah. I'm hustling, right? Yeah. We're doing 10 different things. No, we don't.
Yeah.
We've picked one thing and we do that one thing because you don't, to be a multimillionaire in real estate, to have a net worth of 3, 4, 5, 6 million, you don't need to do 10 things.
Yeah.
You focus on one thing and then just put it away, put it away, put it away. You do that for a period of 3, 4, 5 years. And you're an example of it, right? Yeah. And that's why I wanted to kind of start with that process because you come to Mastery, you go to 3-day, you come to Mastery. First 15, 20 properties, I mean, they were just, if you had done those properties, you would have gone bankrupt a second time.
Oh, yes.
100%. Yes. Right? Because those were just properties. See, just because you can do something in real estate doesn't mean you should. Mm. Right? That's correct. Probably the biggest thing. It's like which ones to throw away is way more important than which ones to keep in
correct.
Real estate.
Correct.
Meaning, and this is a very opposite philosophy. HGTV says, hey, find the worst house in the block and try to make it the best. We say, no. You don't find the worst house. You spend more time looking for the house than amount of time rehabbing, which is rehabbing is a necessary evil. We have to do it, but we look for better quality properties at a great price to begin with, and then go touch that property because now the property already is good. The area already is decent. Mm. All you're doing is just making it a little bit better and boom, the value goes to the roof, mm-hmm. right? This is very anti what everybody else talks about.
Very
right?
true.
We're exactly diametrically opposite of what everybody else says, right?
Very true.
So it took you some time, year and a half, you go through this process. Now, my question is this, that I think you're here single-handedly, as far as I'm concerned, because in that time when you were going through your trial period, you did not give up. You would keep showing up to some of the meetings we do. So you keep showing up 3-day. You keep, at that time, did ever the thought run through your mind, man, is this stuff going to work for me? I know more and more people are buying properties, but is this going to really work for me? I know it works for them. Did you ever go through that kind of process mentally?
Well, yeah. And being the age that I'm at, I went through so many trials and tribulations, right, throughout my life. I knew what wasn't working, what would work, what not, where to give up, and where to keep on pushing. The biggest motivating factor here was that, you know, I saw testimonials and I witnessed people actually being successful out of your program. I did not join the Mastery program the first time around, first 3-day. Second 3-day I attended. I started meeting people that I had originally met the first 3-day who actually had joined your program at that time, who had already accumulated a couple of properties at that time. Then at the third 3-day around is when I actually took the plunge, and only because the same people that I met in the first 3-day came back and they already have a portfolio that they were building up. And I said, you know what? This stuff really works. And because I knew that the numbers and the strategy that you were talking about made sense, you spend less time in the actual project and working more about, you know, the strategy and the numbers part of it. Right. Because, you know, so many other real estate coaches out there, they just glorify, you know, the big numbers, the big flips, the profit and so on. And they don't explain what the nuances are about, you know, the middle part of it, what and how to get there. And that actually can deter a lot of people, and that can squander a lot of people's dreams, because once anybody starts a rehab project, then, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into, right? You don't know, you know, you can open up a can of worms, and it's never going to be easy, right? You just need to know where to get the support, how to move forward and so on. And I gained all that information and all that help and guidance here.
Got it.
So
my question is this, right? And it kind of, it's sometimes, you know, it's like, what is, you know, what is success? Sometimes success is basically preparedness, meeting opportunity, and being at the right place at the right time, right? But if you keep doing the right things, over time, things will work for you, right? I've always believed that.
Yeah.
May not happen today, but if you keep at it and you do the right thing, it'll work.
Yeah.
Happens to be your son wants to get in real estate, right? And he starts basically doing, looking for deals also. And literally the first deal you did was with your own son.
That's correct.
How did that come about?
Oh, that was a great deal. That was, taught us about looking for off-market property. We started just driving around our own back of the yards, and we're looking for property that looked in disrepair or high grass or snow and shoveled, whatever time of the year. We found a property that looked vacant. The mail was piling up in the mailbox, and we decided to knock on the door. A lady actually answered the door, says that it wasn't her property, but that she knew the owner, that it was that they were probably looking to sell. We looked up some tax records and found the administrator to the property. It turned out that it was a probate situation off market, and we got a hold of the administrator, and we made an offer and got it under contract. And
The
rest is history. That's right. Where it started. And we made actually our biggest wholesale fee on that very first one to date.
First property. Okay.
Are you enjoying the show thus far? You know what they say, knowledge is not power, but rather it's the application of knowledge that is power. That's why we are excited to announce the new dates for our Build Your Empire 3-day conference and property tour. At this game-changing event, you'll discover how to build lasting wealth with real estate, learn step-by-step methods, avoid common mistakes, and get insights from dozens of real estate and financial experts. If you are listening to the podcast, you know that real estate is a team sport, and we're here to introduce you to the local pros who can help you every step of the way. This event is your opportunity to walk through active real estate deals in Chicago and nearby neighborhoods. And the best part is, you can either attend live or virtually. Go to andrewholmesevents.com and get your early bird tickets now. At the event, you'll see properties being transformed into flips, rentals, or wholesale properties, giving you a rare and valuable learning experience outside the classroom. Meet and learn from successful students who've profited from our mentorship. Hear their stories and struggles, and discover how you can follow in their footsteps, regardless of your background or experience. And so much more. We also have a VIP package that will give you access to our exclusive networking sessions and an opportunity to connect and meet with Andrew himself. Plus, we even give you a hot lunch all of the days you are there. For more information and to secure your spot, visit andrewholmesevents.com. We sell out every time, so don't miss this opportunity to transform your real estate career. We will see you at our next event. And now, back to the show.
So was that the property in Westchester?
No, that one is in Berwyn.
In Berwyn, yes. Okay. So Berwyn properties. So first property that was in Berwyn, you wholesaled that one?
Correct.
Okay. How much did you make on that one on the wholesale?
$26,000.
Now, number one, let's talk about, we always try to brainwash everybody, you keep a property, keep a property, keep a property, never sell it.
Yeah.
Right? That one, you didn't do a flip, you did a wholesale.
Correct.
Right. What was the reason why you did a wholesale on that?
Yeah, that would have been a good rental, but because I didn't want to have so much money stuck into the deal, we wanted to start some sort of a marketing campaign eventually, right? For off-market properties, we said, well, let's cash out on this in a wholesale situation. And move over and try to wholesale another and build up the reserves. That was our main focus in the beginning. Let's build up a reserve so then we can go ahead and have that money to start some marketing and also have a down payment money for any future deals that we're doing.
So basically that was, you were going to reinvest that money into the business.
Exactly. Right?
And this is just like anything else. Made a little bit of money. It was a nice safe bet. You made $25,000, right? And then you took some of that money and reinvested it into some marketing.
Correct.
Right? And you guys were doing, at one time, you guys were doing cold callers. Right?
Correct.
And you guys also tried a little bit of mailing.
Right? Correct.
You guys have done both.
Yes.
Right? With cold calling and or mailing. Right, people want to do one drop of mail and say, oh, man, I didn't get any results. Nothing happened this time. What is the reality?
The reality is that you got to stay consistent with it. You got to continue sending these mailing campaigns at least about seven times. because some of our biggest wholesales have been on the sixth or the seventh hit, right? You're gonna waste your marketing budget if you're just gonna send it once or twice. What we found out is normally they'll receive a piece of mail, they'll toss it. Second piece will come in. Oh, okay, maybe they'll put it away. Third piece, then and it depends on the situation. What situation those people are at the time. They might not be ready at that particular time on the first mailer, but come the fifth or the sixth, then, their lives change and yeah. They're ready to go. So it's just consistency. You just got to continue sending them out.
And then you guys weren't sending out a big budget, right?
No.
You had a very small budget,
no.
A few hundred dollars, yeah. Right? And you're literally sending that out.
We hired, I hired my daughter's high school friend at the time just to write out some letters for us and send them out, 300 letters a month.
That's it. Right. And I think a lot of times, what happens is we make things more complicated mm-hmm. than they're supposed to be. Do small things in a sustainable manner. It's no different than, I wish I could do this on the exercise side of it, right? Which is you don't have to do a lot. But yeah. Whatever you do it with consistency.
Yeah.
Right? That's way more important than anything else.
Yes.
Right? So now you guys start doing that. And now if I look at it today, right? As far as flips, as far as wholesales, how many total wholesales have you done?
We've done a total of 8 so far.
8 wholesales.
Yes.
Right? You've done some wholesales where you made $20,000-$25,000.
Yes.
You've done some wholesales where you made $5,000.
Yes.
What was the difference? As far as why did you only make $4,000 or $5,000 on some, and on some you were able to make $20,000-$25,000? Because for the audience listening, yeah. Everybody's, oh yeah, man, I want to get like 15, 20 reps every time.
Yeah. Right?
But that's not how life is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of those lower price ones were where we had double closed on it, only because there was a lot of meat on the bone. And then we wanted to go in there and just do somewhat of a wholesale situation.
Clean it out.
Exactly.
Put it back on the market.
Exactly. And okay. And we ran into a hiccup there because we just lasted a little too long on that property. Our monthly payments on the property were exhausting us. So at the end of the day, those were just $5,000 that we would make. Okay. But that was very, so I think it was actually just 2 deals that we actually just made $5,000 on. Now the rest were north of that.
Okay. So if I was to say like on an average wholesale, if you average out, you've done about 8 of them,
yeah. Right?
You're not a wholesaler though.
No, not by,
you're not,
not
no.
by career.
You no. do wholesales. And this is something important to understand, guys. People want to get it. Oh, I'm just going to do wholesales. That's the wrong way to look at it. Here's what you should be. I want good quality properties at good prices. You wholesale when it makes the best sense for you to wholesale.
Yeah.
Right? You flip when it makes the best sense. Now, if you don't, you can't do it, do a JV with somebody, do it some other way because you'll make more profit and
correct.
You'll get to learn.
Yeah.
Right? And then you keep a property every time. That should be the goal, to keep a property.
Right.
Unless the property numbers don't work, then you wholesale or then you flip.
So starting off, we wanted to build our reserves, right? So that's why we decided to begin wholesaling.
Sure.
Then after we'd done 3 of them, we said, okay, let's either hold and start flipping. It was kind of a pendulum swing on that. We would take, we would wholesale one, then rent one, then wholesale one, then rent 2, or then the flips would begin and so on. But the luxury of that.
So you have built this up.
Exactly.
And this is a 4.5-5 year journey.
Correct.
Right? But I want to kind of, and that's what I want the audience to understand, that guys, listen, I know all of us want to be from a zero to a hero in 2 days, including yeah. me, right? Just understand, you can literally get there and you can be in a very good financial position, right? I know a ton of wholesalers, they do a ton of volume of business, but I can guarantee you they're broke. And they're broke not because they don't make a bunch of money. Whatever they make is spent. By the end of the year, they have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
But you did 8 wholesales. How many flips?
8 flips.
8 flips. Mm-hmm. And this is where the real wealth is. How many rental properties do you have today?
23 doors.
23 doors. So you have 1 6 unit, you have 1 4 unit, and the rest single families.
Correct.
Correct? Right? And so now, 23 doors, on 23 doors, how much money, cash money, out of pocket do you have?
Well, we have our 6th unit that we are actually just wrapping up this week. We're going to finish renting that out once those are all rented and the mortgage payment that I have on that. In accumulation, our net cash flow should be around 12,500.
12,500 a month.
Correct.
That's not the question I was asking. What I was asking was out of pocket invested, right?
Oh, out of
like used to be people put down 20% down payment, blah, blah. We don't do that. We do two step purchase rehab from either private money or hard money. And then we do refinance out.
Correct. Right?
How much of your actual cash money do you have in these properties?
So after 23 rental doors, 8 flips, and 8 wholesales, zero out of my pocket.
Zero out of your
zero,
pocket.
Zero, nothing.
And you guys have put aside money, and you have made a good living at it.
Yes.
Right? See, the secret to building real estate is good quality properties. The secret to real estate is not construction. Construction is a necessary evil. You have to do it because some of these properties need cleanup. Some of these properties need work, right? To increase value, you're going to have to do construction, right? Some part of it. But the goal should be take pride in the less amount of work that you do. Mm-hmm. Do not take pride. Guys, most of us come from middle class to lower background people in general. Doesn't matter if you're an immigrant, doesn't matter who you are. That's just the reality. Right? Most of us don't come from families that were worth $30, $40, $50, $100 million. We don't. That's just a fact of life, right? And so our parents, the only thing they knew, right, is work hard. And some of them knew, get a good education and work hard.
Right.
And then work hard and work hard and work hard. They never were multipliers of money.
Right.
Right? They were never investors. Mm-hmm. So the only thing, and I mean, I've said this even on social media and stuff. People are like, oh, Andrew, you're just telling people to do shoddy work. I've never said that. Mm-hmm. I've never said that. What I have said is don't buy properties in crazy areas and don't buy crazy properties. Mm-hmm. You're not in the construction business. You're in the investment business.
Right.
We're investors. We're not construction people. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that message dialed into you today?
Yeah, it is. It is. And although we've done 8 flips and I'll take a lot, my wife and my son and I will take a lot of pride in all that work that we put into it and the gains that we've got out of it. But it's here today, gone tomorrow. Correct. In the flips, right? There's really no consistent cash flow in there. And although it's a big glory day, big glory payday.
And it's exciting. It's great.
It is. It's exciting. It's happy, awesome and happy. And you are able to take vacations and so on. But what happens is you got to come back and do it again and again and again. And it's a lot of work.
So Berwyn property you did.
Yeah.
Right? 2 flat you bought, right? 180,000, 200,000?
187,000.
187,000. Yeah. 2-unit building, right? Yeah. You guys decided to flip it because the numbers were so obscene.
Yeah.
Right? The numbers were so, you sold it on, how much did you do rehab wise?
We put in about 125,000 into it.
125. So you buy it for about 187.
Right.
You put 120 into it. Back end, what was the sale price?
We sold it at 542.
542, yeah. Right? Now you made a ton of money on it.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously. You made over 100,000 bucks on that property.
Yeah.
Right? And see, most people would be jumping up and down. And I'm very happy for him. But you know what I'm happier for? Is the 23 rental properties that he has every single month, 12,000, 12,000. Next month, he buys another one, then it's gonna go to 13, 13, 5. Next month, it's gonna go to 14, then it's gonna go to 15, then it's gonna go to 16, right? That is success. The flip money is like one of those things that, okay, you get it, great, enjoy it, right? It helps you build, it helps you maybe take a vacation, pay down some debt, that's great. It's fantastic.
We did a couple of flips prior to that, and that's what we did, right? We just enjoyed ourselves. We tried to reinvest a little bit, but you know, before we knew it, it was gone. Okay. And but this 2-unit in Berwyn that we sold, and we made 182 net. We reinvested in. That's how we got the 6-unit.
Right. And see, what most people see is they're like, if Jesse speaks at the 3-day, speaks about, man, Jesse, that's what I want to do. I want to do $182,000 profit on property. I can promise you guys, it's not going to happen for you. I can promise you that. But if you stay consistent, you'll fumble into a property where it'll give you a nice wide spread, right? But if you try to just go do that, guess what? You're going to be out of business, right? So understand, we're building a business. We're building a business of cash flow, and then rest of it comes along with it.
Yeah, see, it took me a while to learn the mindset of being consistent. So not giving up in your program, although I had fallen on my face and ran into a lot of issues several times. I said, I can't give up. Let's keep on going. Let's push it. It's about building momentum, just like it is with the mailers, right? You can't quit at your first or second mailer. It's got to be consistent. You got to build a momentum and have that that streak move and move forward. And then that's when things will start happening for you.
So I want to go back to one of your properties, Jesse, right, where I turned you down. Right. You call me and I'll never forget this. It was a 2-unit or 3-unit building, Westchester.
The 3 in Westchester.
Yeah. Massive property.
Yeah.
Just a massive brick property. And great building, great location, phenomenal location. But you were looking for a loan at that time on that property.
Right.
It took you 6 months to do that deal. Right. And I said, no, man, a year from now, maybe we'll say yes.
Yeah.
But right now, no. Right? You're like, man, but why? Right? It's like a kid saying, can I have that? And you're like, no, not right now. Mm-hmm. Right? You're only 12 years old. You're not going to basically buy a $1,000 for a bike. It's not for you right now. It's not a never. It's just today. No.
Mm-hmm.
Now looking back, because you wholesaled that property.
Right.
And I had said that, man, listen, if you do this deal, you're going to go belly up on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anybody else that has a lot of experience, that has the bank account, they can pull it off. But right now, Jesse, this is not the right thing to do for you. Just wholesale it, get rid of it, and you will do one of these. It's just not today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At that time, did that make sense, or did it take a year, year and a half later to make sense?
I hate to say that you were right, but we didn't have the experience in that level of rehab. Right. It was a big, massive 3-unit building, and it did need a lot of work. And we hadn't done any full rehabs till at that point. Right. Although I did have a small little 401k and small little wholesale reserves that I had built up from my wholesales. It wasn't enough to where I believe we would have sustained us if anything would have gone wrong. So I think that was the right decision at the time. And now I think it was the right decision. At the time, I really, really was pushing you to get that loan. And I was a little saddened by the fact that, I couldn't get it.
Sure. No, because I'm turning. And guys, listen, at the end of the day, it's someone like Jesse's in Mastery. You want to see that success, right? Because somebody who's in Mastery, if they succeed, it's our success.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere we were able to be the inspiration, to be the guiding force behind somebody. You have to do the work, but yet to be able to cajole you to, hey, man, this is something you could do. And at that time, I was like, no, today you could do that property, no problem.
Easy,
yeah. Right? That's something you could pull off, no problem, and would work. But see, at that time, it just, you didn't have the experience. You didn't certainly have the bank account to be able to pull something like that off, for sure. And so at that time, it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Today, that same thing would make sense.
Well, out of the 15 that I threw up against the wall that you turned me down on, this 3-unit, each and every one of those deals would have finished me before I had even gotten started. So, that's thank you for that support and that guidance. It's what we really need here, and that's what we benefit off of.
So, Jesse, obviously, every month you're building. Now, you lost your job in the meantime, right, in the banking sector.
I quit.
You quit, okay. You quit. You had some family things going on, right, at the time. And so you quit at that time, and then yet today, you handle national RE funding.
Yes.
Right? Quote, unquote, it's not a job. It's something where you're helping other investors, right? As people who are in Mastery, people who are outside, people listening to the show, they can go to nationalrefunding.com.
Yes.
They'll put their information in. They will talk to you about their funding needs for flips, for rental properties, for long-term rentals, so on and so forth.
Yes.
Right? So why do you do that? Because obviously it makes you some money. It's not like it makes you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the money that we've always said. You want to be a multimillionaire? Keep some sort of a day job first.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to a point where you have so many properties that you can take the foot off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that you treat as your day job. You do flips. You do wholesales. And then you do rentals. Why do you keep doing that?
Well, there's a bigger meaning behind why I do that. And I'll let you know, it's because when I went through the bust, I had I was on the verge of losing the roof over my family's head. I fell over, I knelt by the side of my bed and I prayed. Says anything that I can do to help people struggling in my situation, I will do as long as you can help me get out of this mess.
Sometimes, you know, we come up with wise things and wise thoughts when we're at our lowest.
Yeah.
Was that kind of for you?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was. It was an eye-opening moment, and it really changed my perspective in life in general, and just society and people, and how to work with each other. Right. Soon enough, 2 weeks later, because at that time I was unemployed. I had lost my job. Soon enough, I kept on applying for jobs. I got a job at one of the biggest retail banks in their modification department. And I was no sooner was I in front of hundreds of people helping them modify their mortgages.
So this is at the time when short sales were going on, millions of people were going through
that. Exactly. And so that brought a lot of satisfaction to me personally. Once I came across your group, I had, there were a couple of other family issues, health issues that had happened. I lost my sister, my mother, my father, after he had remarried, my mother-in-law. Unfortunately, all of them at the time weren't very well off. And because of real estate that I had, what I had accomplished at the time, it assisted me in helping them, give them a proper funeral service. And I owe it all to real estate. At the time, soon after I had quit my job, because I saw the rental income and the flips that we were doing, being able to sustain us, and we're building some sort of a cash flow there. And also coupled with the corporate politics that I was really stressed out of, I didn't see any opportunities to escalate at those particular jobs, right? It's a salary job and you're pretty much capped there. So I was really frustrated at that end. So I jumped ship. Of course, Mastery had helped me out. But because I was heavily involved in the group and with my knowledge and expertise, I says, oh, well, you know, what else can, you know, I do to pay it forward, right? And I stumbled across National RE Funding and saw that as another calling, another opportunity where I can help people such as in my situation that are looking to grow and escalate and so on. So it's more of the faith that I had and the drive that keeps me going. And that's my why. That's my why I'm doing the National RE Funding. Do I have to right now? It is extra income. You know, the rental properties and the flips are holding us over nicely, but I get a lot of satisfaction, a lot of joy in being able to help people in pursue their successes and their dreams. And I'm able to sleep well at night because of that.
No, and I think that's the important takeaway from what, and I purposely started on a low note with Jesse, because a lot of times if all we talk about is, oh my God, you got all this cash flow coming in today, man, right? You've done a lot of successful flips. Right, you've done a lot of successful flips where you guys have clearly, the Berwyn one was a, you know, home run hit like no tomorrow. You're making $180,000. So a bunch of other ones, 50, 60, time after time after time.
Yeah.
And people get this wrong impression that, oh my God, this is just how it is.
Yeah.
Right? Jesse, anything he touches turns to gold. It does not, guys. For 99.9% of people, understand, when you start immediately, a lot of times, none of us have those kind of successes. It wasn't right. That way for me. Right? First property, I made barely $15,000-$20,000 doing a flip, barely. And it takes a little bit of time.
Yes.
You want to succeed, understand it can be done in a 2 to 5 year period. No question about it.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to go through that process and you got to do the right thing over and over and over.
Yes.
You know, in Mastery, we always say, Jesse, that if you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life.
Very right? True.
And I genuinely mean it from the bottom of my heart that for you, for your family, today your wife is the GC, right? She kind of runs a tight ship on that end. Your son is helping you marketing. He's talking to sellers, that type of thing. I mean, you guys have literally lived that. You guys live that message.
Yes,
You guys have taken care of real estate for the first 5 years, meaning doing the right things, putting properties away, right? Not going suddenly increasing your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And literally from this point on, if you choose to, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's true. So, you know, a very important point that you brought up is that, you know, it is, you know, again, I can't say enough, consistency. You just can't give up. It's not going to do it by itself, right? You have a lot of these get rich quick scheme programs that are out there and you can make millions overnight. No, it's not that easy. You actually have to put the work into it. Right. You know, so it's not a matter of whether the program will work. It's a matter if you will work. Right. And as long as you stay consistent with it, you know, I feel so blessed in today's day that, you know, I'm able to do what I'm passionate about. I really love doing with the people that I love doing, my son and my wife. You know, we're a consistent flowing team. She used to be a chef. Now she used to construct cakes. Now she's constructing houses and designing them. And she's very passionate about that.
No, and now this has become a family business.
It is.
Right? Yeah. It's a family business. We got to get your wife out one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, literally there's so many spouses. So many, and it can be husband or the wife, right? That feel, oh my God, you know, my husband goes and tries all these things, or my wife goes and tries all these things. I don't know if it's going to work. And rightfully so, yeah. Like, because you're always going to have one person who's a little bit more adventurous than the other person, right? It's like, hey, I don't want them to make a mistake because this can take a toll on your family,
yeah.
Right? Exactly. And your wife had already been through that. But I mean, it's, you know, this is kind of fun. So for everybody listening, guys, make sure if you have any needs for your lending needs, meaning you're going to do a flip, you're going to do a rental, before you go do something, please, before, talk to Jesse. Reach out to National RE Funding. That's on online, National RE Funding. Just type it out, .com. And the page will come up. Go, just put your basic information. He doesn't pull a credit check or anything, just basic information. That way you can get that background in terms of what does it take for me to get a loan. And believe me, you are going to have no situation. Oh my God, I don't have money. Probably heard that a million times. Oh my God, you know, Jesse, at some point when I was 19, I did something stupid. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of put in a place where they don't let you go without your own wealth. And this is life. Right. Yes. This is where people have made mistakes. So there is no judgment. This is, hey, what is your goal? Where do you want to go?
Right.
And how do you use a tool, which is this financing tool, to get there? That's your job.
That's correct. That's correct. I'm the loan specialist at National RE Funding. And what I'll do, my job is to filter out through all that mess that everybody is running into. There's going to be a lot of questions everybody has. What's a down payment? What's the interest? What's this? How can I get this? And, you know, partner and so on. I'll review your situation and make it easy for you to make the best decision. I'll lay out several different options. And being that I'm an investor myself, and I've been through all those trials and tribulations, I know exactly how to maneuver through all that red tape and lay down a very easy map for you to route through. So give me a call and I can help you with all those scenarios.
Yeah, so you can help them with the foundation of success.
Correct.
Great. Guys, having said that, make sure you like the podcast. You're listening to Andrew Holmes with Cashflow for Life. And the way we get to grow, the way we get to bring great guests is if you like, subscribe, share with your friends, and hopefully you can be the inspiration to their success. Having said that, thanks a bunch. Talk to you soon.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Cashflow for Life podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. Achieving financial freedom is all about creating the necessary cash flow in your life. Our team has designed an entire ecosystem for you to be able to not only become a successful real estate investor, but for you to build higher cash flows month after month. Join our community at www.nationalreinvest.com to see which event is coming up that you can be a part of and how you can be a part of our community. Once again, it's www.nationalreinvest.com. We will see you on the next episode.